This show furnished by Girardi Keys.
This is Champions of Justice, presented by Tom Girardi.
We are the champions, my friends.
Hello, I'm Dave Dino, and this is the program that takes you behind the scenes with those who make the laws and those who protect your rights through the rule of law. Your hosts today are attorney Thomas Girardi and attorney Amy Solomon. Tom Girardi is the founding partner of the law firm of Girardi & Keys, known for passionate litigation of corporate giants on behalf of aggrieved individuals. He is a member of the California State Bar Trial Lawyers Hall of Fame and is widely regarded by his peers as one of the nation's top trial attorneys. Amy Solomon is a past president of the Consumer Attorneys Association of Los Angeles and a member of Girardi & Keys, specializing in the areas of professional liability, toxic torts, products liability, and insurance bad faith. They are champions of justice for the little guy. Each week we air this informative and entertaining hour, bringing clarity to the headline-generating legal challenges of the day. And what we're going to talk about today was a headline recently. I want to start by telling you a story. It's about a man. His name is Cash Delano Register, who spent 34 years in prison after being convicted of a murder he did not commit. He was freed from jail on Friday, November 8, 2013. Today's program is an update to an earlier recorded program. We begin with news that Los Angeles will pay more than $24 million to two men wrongfully imprisoned for decades, settling lawsuits by the men that accuse police detectives of ignoring key evidence or witness testimony in the separate murder cases. Cash Delano Register, who served 34 years for the wrongful murder conviction of an elderly West L.A. man, will receive $16.7 million. Superior Court Judge Catherine Mader threw out his conviction after a team of lawyers and law students from the Loyola Law School, Los Angeles, Project for the Innocent, successfully argued that Register, now 53 years of age, was wrongfully convicted of murder in 1979. The release came just one day after Judge Mader found, at the conclusion of a hearing, that Register's due process rights were violated by the prosecution's failure to disclose exculpatory evidence and its use of false testimony at trial. We will explain the term exculpatory. Cash Delano Register, who is African-American, was convicted by an all-white jury in the robbery homicide of an elderly white man in the Pico Robertson neighborhood of Los Angeles. He was 18 years old at the time of his arrest. He was sentenced to 27 years to life in prison. Register was convicted mainly on alleged eyewitness testimony. None of the seven fingerprints found on the victim's car matched Register's, and the police never recovered the murder weapon. Register's girlfriend said that he was with her at the time of the shooting, but prosecutors relied on the testimony of Brenda Anderson, who identified Register as the gunman. Two of Anderson's sisters, however, said that their sibling lied about seeing Register running away from the crime scene. Sheila Vanderkam said that she and Sharon Anderson tried to tell police in 1979 that their sister lied, but a detective placed his finger over his mouth, indicating they should keep silent. Today, our guest is the leader of Loyola Law School's Project for the Innocent, Professor Lori Levinson. She joined the Loyola faculty in 1989 and served as Loyola's Associate Dean for Academic Affairs from 96 to 99. This program was recorded in 2013 upon Cash Delano Register's release from prison. We go back to that program with this new settlement in mind. Tom?
Hi, everybody. It's very nice of you to join us. We certainly appreciate you. Okay, Dave Dino, I think we did it this time.
I think you're there.
I'm not kidding you. First of all, a little bit about Lori. I know her well. She's done an unbelievable job at Loyola Law School. The students love her. The faculty loves her. And then the work she does is above and beyond what a normal professor would do. This little project obviously takes an unbelievable amount of time. First of all, to see those people that really can be helped, that really may be innocent, that matter has to be looked into, etc. And indeed, this is such a great example we have today of this nice man sitting here, not in jail, just sitting here in the studio with us after being freed. You know, we saw this past week or so, the Mandela articles and so forth, how he was in prison for all that time and then rose to the presidency and so forth and did so much good. But it's hard, Dave Dino, for anybody in the room, even including Lori and Amy, to even think what it would be like to spend more than three decades of your life incarcerated for something that you didn't do.
And we should say that we are joined in studio by two other guests. One is Adam Grant. He is a lawyer with the Loyola Law School Project for the Innocent. And we are also joined in studio by Lori's client, as she likes to describe him, Cash Delano Register.
Cash, I got a question.
Yes.
It was quite an ordeal, huh?
Yes, it has been.
What do you think of Project Innocent, Cash?
Well, without them, I wouldn't be here. I think it's a great organization, and I think they do a tremendous amount of good work, and they help those that need help.
You know, as Dave Dino was going through some of the facts of what really happened here, it's pretty disgusting.
Yeah.
Dave Dino, where you have the police knowing about stuff and don't give a darn and, okay, let's just go to trial and et cetera. And I don't know who handled your case during the trial phase, but it seems to me some of this stuff should have come out before, you know, Lori put her kind hand into this to help out with the Project Innocent. But that's, I suppose, another story.
Yes.
Okay, Lori.
I am so honored to be here, Tom and Amy and Dave. Thank you so much. And, of course, with my client, Cash Register and Adam Grant, we are the luckiest people on earth to be able to do the type of work we do for the people we do. And, you know, Cash didn't deserve it. He did not deserve to spend 34 years in prison for a crime that he didn't do. And it happened because things occurred in the criminal justice system that shouldn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
You had eyewitness testimony. There was no DNA in this case. Your listeners should know that in most cases, there is no DNA. In fact, law enforcement had destroyed the fingerprints in the case, the physical evidence, where today we might be able to get that.
Mm-hmm.
And so instead they went on the testimony of two eyewitnesses, and we know how problematic that is, especially when one, Brenda Anderson, they had not revealed to the defense that she herself was out stealing that day. And that's why she was cooperating with the police, because she didn't want to take the heat on her own. And her sisters had come forward to the police and said, don't believe her. But that was never shared with defense counsel. It was also never shared at trial that Brenda Anderson had been convicted of her crimes and was on double probation. So if she didn't toe the line, she was going into custody herself. And then there was a second witness whose testimony from day one was completely implausible. He claimed he was across the street from where the shooting occurred. When he saw this horrible shooting, he ran out of his house. He was unarmed. He chased some shooter for many blocks, confronted him, and then said, oh, we're cool. But he got a good look at the shooter. Now, I don't know how anyone believes that, but that's what they presented. And we went back through our students, all these volunteering students, and found that witness, Elliot Singleton.
Really?
Indeed. And he said, oh, I don't remember that at all. He says, in fact, that would be crazy. Who would do that? Who would chase the shooter? And so we were left with a case where we knew that something had gone terribly wrong. And as you mentioned, put on top of that, that Cash went through parole hearing after parole hearing. All he had to do was say, I'm sorry for what I did. But the man is a man of principle. He said, I can't say that because I didn't do it. And he spent 34 years in prison.
Reminder that you're listening to Champions of Justice with Tom Girardi and Amy Solomon. Our guest today, Loyola Law School professor Lori Levinson. She's the head of the Project for the Innocent. Also in studio, her client, Cash Delano Register, 34 years in prison after being convicted of a murder he did not commit. and Adam Grant, lawyer with the Loyola Law School Project for the Innocent. I'm Dave Dino. We have a lot more in store. Keep it tuned right here to Talk Radio 790 KABC.
This is John Greenhut, and if your teeth are stained from coffee, tea, or smoking, Power Swabs is the answer. In 5 minutes, you'll see 2 shades whiter teeth, and in 7 days, 6 shades. Even better, there's no messy strips or trays that you'll have to leave in your mouth for an hour. Just swab your teeth for 5 minutes, and you're done. To try Power Swabs, call 1-800-679-0969. Your bright white smile will have your friends talking about how great you look. Try it risk-free. 1-800-679-0969. That's 1-800-679-0969.
Hello, I'd like to deposit this to checking.
Fate is a fickle master.
What?
The future is uncertain.
Okay, and what's my account balance?
Ah, the horizon is cloudy. I see a long, treacherous voyage filled with great peril.
Look, can I just get a deposit slip or something?
A fortune bank teller. Surprising. What's not surprising? How much you could save by switching to GEICO.
I see a yellow-eyed serpent.
What?
And a low APR.
GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Message and data rates may apply.
If you're considering going back to school, ask yourself the following questions. Do you need the flexibility to take classes on your schedule? Do you have college credits you need transferred? Do you want to earn a quality degree from a world-renowned university? If you answered yes to any of these questions, Arizona State University is the perfect school for you. Arizona State University offers over 150 highly ranked degree programs 100% online. You'll learn the same degree as you would on campus from wherever you are on your schedule. Plus, ASU Online accepts most transfer credits. For information, text FUTURE to 35517. Learn for yourself why the Wall Street Journal ranks ASU fifth in the nation for producing the best qualified graduates and why 87% of ASU grads are recruited within 90 days of graduation. Learn to grow, learn to succeed, and learn to thrive at Arizona State University. To learn more about ASU Online degrees, text FUTURE to 35517. That's FUTURE to 35517.
Talk radio.
790 KABC.
Welcome back to Champions of Justice with Tom Girardi and Amy Solomon. Our guest today is Loyola Law School Professor Lori Levinson, head of the Project for the Innocent. She might say that our special guest really is her client, and he has joined us in studio, Cash Delano Register, a man who was convicted of murder, a murder he did not commit, and was imprisoned for 34 years. He is now a free man. And we're also joined by attorney Adam Grant. He is a lawyer with the Loyola Law School Project for the Innocent. Amy?
You know, this whole story gives me such goosebumps, and to be sitting here with you, Cash, honesty and integrity, and I can't help but wonder, how did our system fall down so badly and so consistently for so many years to condemn a man that didn't deserve it? And Professor Levinson, what do you think happened here?
You know, what I think happens is that sometimes people only see what they want to see. You know, you have the police, they have a terrible murder, they want to solve it, and so they start putting together pieces that may not be the right pieces, but they think they can get the conviction anyway. And they don't listen. They don't really think about the fact that maybe they got it wrong. You know, Amy, one of the remarkable things in this case is that it wasn't just the police who made mistakes. We found out through Juan Mejia, who was the DA who handled the habeas proceedings, the proceedings that ultimately released Mr. Register. I give credit to Juan Mejia because he found in the DA's files a death penalty memorandum that had been sitting in there all these decades that actually had what we call Brady material, exculpatory material that would have helped Mr. Register because it indicated that the witnesses could not make their identification. I don't know why something like that was not revealed. I'm only grateful that finally it has been.
We promised that we would define exculpatory.
Exculpatory means that it goes to show that Mr. Register was innocent, or it's used to help impeach or show that the prosecution's witnesses were lying. And that's what we mean by saying that both the police had that information, and now we know the DA's file did as well.
And the stuff was there.
It was there in black and white.
But,
and we didn't see it until a week before our hearing.
Ooh.
But I have to say this. You got to give that DA some credit, man. Because here he is bringing forth this stuff that should have been brought forth. Obviously, there could be some ramifications to that. But honesty was just as important to him as it was to Mr. Register.
I absolutely do give Juan Mejia that credit. You know, I think there's a lot of pressure. We've been through other hearings. And there is pressure on these DAs who come several decades later to see the case. You know, the police don't want the verdict overturned. There are certainly other DAs who are suspicious about the action. But then you get someone like Mr. Mejia, who I think began to see these witnesses. We called Brenda Anderson. There is no one on this planet who could believe her. Mm. And even she finally said she couldn't make the ID. So he's in the courtroom, and I'm grateful he did the right thing, but I'm very, very sad that it took 34 years out of this man's life for this to finally happen.
How did you find the case?
You know, Dave Dino, great question. That was what I want.
Tom, you have a question.
Well, there are lots of ways that we do get cases. We probably get 3 to 4 letters and calls a day, and the staff is great on reviewing them. But this one was a little unusual. Mr. Register actually had a friend in custody, a guy named Keith Chandler. And Keith Chandler was a very good jailhouse lawyer. And he wrote the initial petition for Mr. Register. And at the time of her final ruling, Judge Mader said it was one of the finest petitions for habeas she had ever seen. Right now, Keith Chandler's out of custody finally, and he's in law school. I'm sure he'll do quite well. So that got filed with the court, and Judge Mader, God bless her, looked at it and said, there's something here. And she initially appointed a very well-known lawyer in this community by the name of Herb Barish. And it was Mr. Barish who reached out to us and said, can you help? And we jumped on it and said, thank you. Absolutely, we will.
Wow.
You know, the bad part of the story is that I don't think Mr. Register is the only person in jail who was wrongfully convicted. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean, Tom, and you're absolutely right. And that's really the biggest problem. You know, I would love for us to be out of a job because there would be no more people who needed our help. But it's the opposite that's true. You know, he's not our first client, and I know there are many more coming down the pike.
Tom, we have actually a history of this here on the program with Professor Levinson, with the case of Obie Anthony that we talked about before.
Right.
Also wrongfully convicted and freed through the efforts of Project for the Innocent.
And one of the great things is that, in fact, we all got together just this weekend at my home. Obie Anthony was there with his wife, and Cash was there with his mother and friends, and we become one big family. In fact, I need to note that on the day that Cash's case was finally dismissed, even Brian Banks, who, if you'll recall, he had been wrongfully convicted of rape, and he's the NFL football player, he came to welcome Cash with a great shirt that said, exonerated.
Well, you know what, Lori? Amy and I, of course, are on the civil side of things. And we get some great satisfaction in what we think we've done some good. Some of these drugs that are on the market that cause so much damage to people and so forth, that we fight that battle and have gotten drugs pulled from the market, have gotten new warnings put on drugs so that people aren't sucked in. And every once in a while, we'll have a glass of wine and say, gosh, Amy, you know, this was really great. You know, we've done some good. But quite honestly, nothing quite as dramatic as the stuff that Project Innocent does. You know, that's pretty good.
Now, Tom, I so admire what you and Amy do, and it makes a difference in so many people's lives. You know, one of the things for us is that we really only have the resources, the staff, to do one client at a time, and here you are helping literally thousands of people. I'm grateful to you.
Hey, Adam.
Yeah.
You're the guy they paid the big bucks, right? How long have you been with the project?
I've been with the project since just before there was a project, actually. We all started on Obie's case. It was just a small group of students and Professor Levinson, I guess 3 years ago, maybe even a little more. And then as Obie's case was developing, we started actually getting letters from inmates before we had really even made a decision to be a project. Inmates had, I guess, and Cash can speak to this, but there must be a pretty substantial grapevine in prison where people just found out about us somehow. And we started getting letters. We started getting some more students involved. And I've been working. I mean, this work is so amazing that I determined to just stay and make people walk around me until they gave me a job.
You know, Adam, quite honestly, though, a lot of the letters you get and so forth probably are not people that were wrongfully convicted.
Sure. There are a lot of people who misunderstand the law, for instance, who they were in the car for the drive-by shooting and they were involved, and they think because they weren't the shooter that they shouldn't have gotten a murder conviction. So there are people who are mistaken about how guilty they are under the law. There are people who are trying to put one over on us, frankly. But we have to sift through everybody and give everybody a fair shot, because you never know when one of these cases is real. And, one of the things that I've been thinking about lately is that on the facts as they were presented in trial, Cash's case looked like one of the cases that we might have overlooked if we weren't being really careful. There were two eyewitnesses. They were steadfast in their identifications, and at a first glance, it may have looked like a real case. So we have to be so careful that we're not short shrifting anybody or taking anybody's claims lightly.
It is said that everybody in prison is innocent.
Well, and the truth is, what I've heard from people who've been in prison, and Cash knows this, of course, is that apparently not everybody in prison pretends to be innocent. Mm. That Keith Chandler, who helped Cash and is a dear friend of Cash's, told us that he could count on one hand the number of people in prison who had approached him in his 21 years there and told him they were innocent. Because there's actually some value to being a tough guy in prison and being taking responsibility for what you did. So it's remarkable how there are few people who pretend to be innocent who are not, but there are people who just misunderstand the situation.
Let's move that microphone over to Cash for just a second here, because I want to follow up on that real quickly. Cash.
Yes.
I mean, you're in prison for 34 years. We're talking about guys in prison that would claim that they're innocent. In your experience, I mean, you live with them every day. Did you come across some that you really honestly felt were wrongfully convicted and innocent?
Well, I'm sure there are people in prison that are wrongfully convicted, but in there, you don't go around discussing your case.
Ah.
You know, so it's something that most people keep to themselves, such as I did.
Mm-hmm.
I just happened to talk to Keith Chandler about my situation based on me going to the board, and I wanted to know how to address the board and maintaining my innocence. And that's how me and Keith Chandler hooked up from that point there.
Mm-hmm.
But most people don't discuss their case on the yard.
Cash, the order clearing you just happened a couple weeks ago, huh?
Yes.
Because when I first heard about it, I contacted Lori because I wanted to tell this story to everybody. And Lori says, Tom, I want to wait for the final order. You know, I don't want anything to slip up.
I get nervous, Tom.
Yeah. So what are you going to do now?
Well, right now I'm prepared to start working Thursday. And I'm just trying to put my life together slowly as I can, but, steady moving forward. I had a lot of support that helped my transition back into society that I wasn't expecting, but I think it was a blessing, and the support that I've got from the Project for the Innocent and the law students, it was just tremendous.
And if I can jump in here, Tom, there are some people I'm so proud of. First of all, I want to make sure we mention Laura Bazelon, who directs our program, was there trying this case. She was great. And our students, those Loyola students are amazing. You know, when Cash was exonerated, he came to class, and they had huge boxes of things to help him get his life started again, whether it be a gift card or clothing, or we know one person who came forward and gave him a computer. When he went into prison, there were no cell phones. He's had to start all over. And I'm proud of our students and that they've come forward and realized that that would be the ultimate holiday gift.
And we're going to pause again as you listen to Champions of Justice with Tom Girardi and Amy Solomon, our guests, three of them in studio today. Loyola Law School Professor Lori Levinson, head of the Project for the Innocent. Attorney Adam Grant, a lawyer with the Project for the Innocent. And their client, Cash Delano Register, 34 years in prison after being convicted of a murder he did not commit. I'm Dave Dino, and we'll be back with more in just a moment here at Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Talk Radio 790 KABC News Update. I'm Gary Garrison. The pastor of a Glendale church wanted for questioning in the sexual assault of a teenage girl at a Covina hotel has proclaimed his innocence and says he plans to turn himself in on Wednesday. Meanwhile, a Rialto high school teacher remains behind bars, accused of having sex with a 16-year-old female student. Saying the city needs a triage approach to the homeless problem on Skid Row, L.A. City Councilman Jose Huizar is proposing installing a large number of emergency shelter trailers in the area. And due to predicted high air pollution levels, all indoor and outdoor residential wood burning is prohibited today in the South Coast Air Basin. KABC SoCal weather, clouds and fog clearing to the beaches this afternoon, highs in the lower to mid-60s. More news coming up and continuous coverage at KABC.com. I'm Gary Garrison, Talk Radio 790 KABC News.
I'm Nick Sobolewski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I shopped the many highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $27 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 800-471-9807. That's 800-471-9807. 800-471-9807. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health issue and company and other factors. Not available in all states.
Message and data rates may apply.
Guys, this may be the last time you ever have to think about hair loss. Because I'm telling you, Bosley is the real deal. They're giving men their hair back permanently. Their real hair. All it takes to get started on the hair gain train is a single text message. You'll get an absolutely free information kit and a free gift card when you text FUN to 85850. Check them out now. Bosley will show you for free how great your hair could look. Dude, this isn't your dad's hair loss treatment. People all over the country trust Bosley because they're America's number one hair restoration expert, ahead of the curve with the latest technology. And the best part, Bosley's solution is permanent. You're going to love what they'll do for your hair. So drop what you're doing long enough to send a text. Get your free information kit and gift card for $250 off by texting FUN to 85850. Don't forget, that's F-U-N. To 85850.
News. Talk. Evolve. Talk Radio 790. KABC.
We are back with more of today's Champions of Justice. What a story we have for you today. In studio, we have a man who was convicted of murder and imprisoned for 34 years, only to be finally freed because his innocence was proven. He is Cash Delano Register. Our guests include Loyola Law School Professor Lori Levinson, head of the Project for the Innocent. They were responsible for taking on Cash's case and attorney Adam Grant, a lawyer with the Project for the Innocent. Tom?
What sort of work you're going to do, Cash?
Warehouse, stocking.
And you've already been employed?
Yes, I have.
You got a job,
yes,
huh?
Yes, I start Thursday.
And you start Thursday.
Yes.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, thank you.
And it's quite a story, pal. You know what I mean? It's
yes.
really it's really wonderful. I don't know if I would go through something like that and have the disposition that you have. You know, as we sit here, you know, you have a warmth and a sweetness to you, you know, and a smile to you and so forth, talking about this. And in part, I'm sure it's, you know, you have some changed circumstances, but in part, going through that, it's something that didn't deter you in terms of your personality and your niceness and your kindness.
Yeah. Well, I didn't want to become the person that I was convicted of being. You know, so I got, you know, I just wanted to stay in touch with what I'm about and what I always have been about. And to keep that humbleness in me when I got out, and I also kept it while I was in prison.
Okay, so help me understand this. You're 18 years old, and you get thrown in prison for something you know you did not do. And you are this person of humble, good to the core goodness. How do you go through 34 years put away knowing without a doubt you don't belong there and come out with that same unscathed humility and goodness? And I think I even read a quote recently attributed to you that you forgave the people involved in this circumstance. I mean, I just have such difficulty wrapping my head around this. How did you do it?
Well, you know, I can't, you know, change the past. I just try to move forward and, you know, look, not make a problem, but make a positive situation and move forward. It's hard for me to really explain, but I think me being negative will only hurt me more and make me the person that I was convicted of being than me being the person that I always was. And I was a humble person before I went to prison, and I wanted to come out humble. Prison life is hard to adjust to, but, you know, I had to adjust to a lifestyle that I wasn't familiar with, but I did it in the best way I can, and not to become part of the prison.
And he's humble. While he was in prison, he did everything he could to make his life, his self, better. I mean, how many certificates did you get for employment?
I have 5 vocational certificates, and I completed 23 self-help programs.
Wow.
Is that a little different than most of the folks up there?
Well, yes, but you got a lot of people that are doing the same thing. Some stepped into college and... You know, you got a lot of people that are trying to better themselves in prison.
You know, you got a lot done, but that's not really the preferred job training track.
Indeed.
Yes.
Tom?
Okay, Lori. Forget it. Cash, go home. Lori, what's our new project? Who's our next Cash, baby? I want to know exactly.
We have several cases. In fact, one was already put into the LA Weekly. It involves a woman by the name of Maria Mendez, who was convicted on, quote, a shaken baby syndrome. Now, for the listeners who are familiar with that, they realize that science was not really a science and has been really criticized in recent years. So this poor woman, who is a grandmother, was convicted of killing her grandson. And we've been looking at this case, and we see major problems. So we're committed to her, and we're committed to several other cases that have come our way. We're so proud when, you know, people out in the community say, would you help us? Please don't ever think that's a burden. That's what we live to do. So, in fact, some other lawyers this week have contacted us and said, will we help? And we will look at every single case. Tom, our watchword is there are no disposable people. We look at everything.
How did this thing come about, the project?
Well, the project, as Adam described, was sort of because the students, and these great students, showed up in my office and said, Professor, we want to do something that matters. And I looked at them, I said, okay. and we reached out for how we could make a difference in the community. So the so-called project, which sounds very elaborate, began at my desk at a little table in my office. The students started doing the work. We hustled around. We started on Obie's case. And now we've earned ourselves like a little small area in the library, and that's where we work out of. But we've been generating some support, and even the federal government decided to give us a grant because they decided this would be something worthwhile. That's going to run out, but we are going to keep working.
There are actually, you're not the only one in the country.
We are not at all. There is a network of innocence projects. There's one in San Diego. There's, in fact, one in Northern California, as well as in Chicago and New York. I think what makes us different, however, is a lot of those projects rely on DNA. We don't have DNA. We don't even have the resources to do it. We have to hustle the old-fashioned way. Tom, you know this, and Amy from your cases. You got to go talk to the witnesses. You got to go out to the crime scene. Mr. Anthony's crime scene was outside of a prostitution house in Los Angeles. Mr. Register's, you know, was in a different place, actually not too far from my home. But we were out there walking the streets to see what's happening. So this case developed because the students wanted to do it, and thank God some of them never left. And that's why I'm lucky enough to have Adam Grant work on the project.
And there are some attorneys around the country. I remember that we interviewed Tom Mesereau years ago.
Yes.
Tom makes it a point of each and every year pro bono taking on a case for someone that he believes has been wrongfully convicted, in many cases facing a death penalty, and he has been able to change that verdict for them. So it is groups and it is individual attorneys that are fighting for the innocent. Amy?
I'm curious, how many students do you have in the Innocent Project?
We have about 22 a semester. Now, they're not all working on one case because, don't forget, they have to screen cases, they have to investigate, they have to write the pleadings. I know that there are students who, during our hearing, did not sleep. They were with us 24-7. If I sent an email at 2 a.m. saying we need to file this in the morning, they stayed up and did it. So we are lucky enough to have 22 students right now each semester who are learning to do this important work and participating.
But what a wonderful way to create fully prepared, optimally prepared lawyers who, when they get their bar card, they hit the ground running and can really go effectively represent real people right away.
Amy, do you think it's a little bit better than, say, taking a course in criminal law?
Right.
Do you think just maybe you kind of get the deal a little bit better?
Boy, you talk about hands-on.
Right, it is very hands-on, and I think the students really appreciate it. And when we go to select the students who are going to be involved in the project, it's not all about grades. It's mostly about heart. We look for the students who really want to be lawyers, be good lawyers, get ready to be like Amy and Tom one day, many years down the road, who have that commitment to the person. And that's what we find.
You came at this, though, from a very different perspective. You came at this as being a prosecutor.
Uh-oh, you let everyone know. Indeed. My background is I was a former federal prosecutor for about 8.5 years. And it is odd people think that I do this work. But in my mind, it makes all the sense in the world. Because what we need are really good prosecutors, ethical prosecutors. And sometimes, having been a prosecutor, I can see faster where some of the problems would arise. I can see where law enforcement would have skipped a step or maybe cheated a little bit.
Yeah. That background gives you a pretty good insight, huh?
It does, although I think a lot of people in the project will accuse me of being the skeptic. When we run through the cases, which one should we take? I'm the one sort of saying, what about this, what about that? Mm-hmm. But when I believe in a case, as I believed with all my heart in cash registers, I knew it came from both the perspective of wanting to do innocence work, but more importantly, having been a prosecutor and knowing when there's a problem.
We talked about Obie Anthony, who was a previous client. We have Cash here now. 34 years in prison. Is there anything within the system that would in any way, shape, or form compensate him for this?
Well, that's to be seen. I mean, the system has recently, the state passed a law that would provide some compensation, but the statute is nearly impossible and has never actually been used. I mean, they want findings of factual innocence. And most judges aren't going to do that. Even Judge Mader said that she thought Mr. Register was probably innocent, but without DNA, she can't say for sure. Another alternative is for him to have a civil lawyer who would pursue his rights. His constitutional rights were violated. They were violated when the police did this misconduct. They were violated when these memos were hidden. We don't handle that aspect of the case. Our job is to get people out of prison. But I do encourage Mr. Anthony and Mr. Register to find the good lawyers out mm-hmm. there who will pursue this. The man has to live. Mm-hmm. He can't just pick up. He got a job. What more can we ask of him? But how much is 34 years of your life worth? Mm-hmm. And for his mom, too.
And you know what, Laurie? It's a little different. Let's suppose an honest witness was mistaken. Yes, it was. He's the guy who did it. The witness is being honest. And let's suppose you don't have all this other incriminating stuff in the DA's file. You know, it was somebody who's wrongfully convicted, but everybody was being honest. They could be mistaken, but they were being honest. That's one thing. On the other hand, when you have the stuff that happened here, that's really something else.
That really is something else. People were not being honest. You could call it intentional, you could call it reckless, but you cannot call it being honest what they did to this man, because they withheld the evidence that if it had been presented, he would have never had to do that time in prison. So you're absolutely right, Tom. You know, no one's saying, gee, a small mistake happened. This was compounded by many people's actions.
We're going to take one final break as you listen to Champions of Justice with Tom Girardi and Amy Solomon. Our guests include Loyola Law School Professor Lori Levinson, head of the Project for the Innocent, her client, Cash Delano Register, a man who was convicted of murder 34 years ago, imprisoned for 34 years for a crime he did not commit, now a free man because of the efforts of the Project for the Innocent, and also by attorney Adam Grant, a lawyer with the Project for the Innocent. I'm Dave Dino, and there's more to this story, so don't go away as you listen to Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Running low on the stuff you need? Time for a Target run. We're here for all the big moments and the little ones, too, like impressing your Valentine with a dinner date in. Get a free $5 gift card when you spend $20 on meat and seafood. Or being sweet on treats, like Mars and M&M's Classroom Exchange bagged candy, just $4.99. For a quick cleanup, get Mrs. Meyer's multi-surface spray or liquid dish soap on sale for $3.79. Get low prices on thousands of items today and every day. Target run and done. Pricing may vary. Restrictions may apply.
When you join the Fuel Rewards program at Shell and get instant gold status, you'll save on every fill, every day.
But you'll feel like you just won a dance-off competition that saved the world.
That's what it feels like to have gold status with the Fuel Rewards program at Shell. With gold status, you'll save 5 cents with every gallon from the first fill. Download the Fuel Rewards app, join, and start saving today. Restrictions apply. Active gold status required. Introductory offer valid for 6 months after activation. Limit 20 gallons at participating Shell stations. See fuelrewards.com/gold for full details.
Attention shoppers, clean up on aisle 14. Clean up on aisle 14. Someone dropped a jar of pickles. Pickles. Kosher pickles.
Beatboxing at a big box store. Surprising. What's not surprising? How much you could save by switching to Geico.
A red minivan has the lights on in the parking lot.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Geico.
Got a refrigerator that no longer does its job? That's not cool. Time to see the Home Depot. Right now, you can save up to 35% on appliance special buys, like the reliable Samsung side-by-side refrigerator in stainless steel or black stainless steel for just $998. So start fresh and save big with up to 35% off appliances. Now at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. U.S. only while supplies last. See store for details, valid through February 28th.
Say, what is this?
You know what it is.
790-790-790-790-KABC. And we're back with our final portion of today's Champions of Justice with Tom Girardi and Amy Solomon. Our guest is Loyola Law School Professor Lori Levinson. It's good to have her back again. She is the head of the Project for the Innocent. Also joined by attorney Adam Grant. He is a lawyer for the Project for the Innocent. And we're talking with their client who has joined us in studio. He is a man who was convicted of murder and imprisoned for 34 years for a crime he did not commit. He was exonerated through the efforts of the Project for the Innocent. His name is Cash Delano Register. Adam, you got the case. You started to see the facts. And you described earlier that based on the surface, you might think, well, no, this is not a case. There's too much evidence supporting the conviction. But then you went out and you started to interview the so-called witnesses. And you started to hear a different story. How did you all react to that?
Well, you know, the first thing that we noticed was that preposterous story that Elliot Singleton told about chasing an armed man that you had just seen shoot somebody five mm-hmm. times. Mm-hmm. You know, that rang bells for some of us right away because it's like Batman or something. It's completely ridiculous. So that was the first thing that made us think.
And tights.
He should have. That made us really want to talk to Mr. Singleton because we knew there was something very wrong there. And, you know, as soon as you see these witnesses, you begin to make determinations about how trustworthy they are and who mm-hmm. they really are. And the minute we saw Brenda Anderson and Elliot Singleton, we just knew these were not people who were trustworthy. These were not people who had a strong moral code that we could really perceive. And they have their own problems, you know, so it may not all be malevolent. Some of their issues are, they just have issues as people, but they certainly did the wrong thing in this case. And that began to be very apparent. And, you know, what we do in the project when we're looking at a case is we say, what is the evidence that convicted this person? And does this evidence hold up? And basically, those two people were the sum total of the evidence, the really important evidence, and we just saw them fall apart before our eyes.
A comment was made earlier that we kind of did not get back to, and Lori, I think you said this. Adam, the comment was that the fingerprint evidence from the crime scene had been destroyed?
Yeah, it's even more bizarre than that. The original fingerprints, there were, I think, seven sets of fingerprints that were...
And they didn't match.
That didn't match at all to Cash, that were lifted from the car. Then all the evidence was destroyed way back in the early 80s, but...
Is that normal?
Yeah. Unfortunately, once the appeal has become final, the government goes about starting to destroy the evidence.
Wow.
And so, you know, these are some of the issues also that come up that are policy issues that you begin to see that really don't work at all. You know, how can a man be in prison for his whole life for decades and decades with no possibility of reexamining the evidence that put him there? It's ridiculous. They also destroy the transcript of his original trial after a certain period of time. And in fact, we were lucky enough to have most of the transcript from his trial, but we'd never had the opening statements or closing arguments from his trial. And those obviously are incredibly important when you're trying to look at what really put the person in prison. So these are policies that really have to be looked at also, that just become apparent when you're doing the work.
And you know, I'm sorry, go ahead, Lori.
And they had physical evidence. They had clothes that they took from Mr. Register that could be tested today. And because we have new testing techniques. But if you destroy the evidence, we'd have nothing to test.
You know, I don't quite understand, though, Dave Dino, the motivation. I understand maybe a lawyer who's a bad guy lying because then he'll get money for his client and himself or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So there would be motivation. It's not good. It's disgusting. But nonetheless, at least I would understand it. What the heck? You know, some DA to get the conviction is not going to come forward with all this stuff. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well,
I don't get it.
They want to win too much. You know, sometimes it's just the blinders. Sometimes they've been convinced that they have the right person. Sometimes there's a bravado, oh, I'm going to win this murder case. But I'm with you, Tom. I really would like many prosecutors out there, and generally my students do go into prosecution, but I remind them they have so much power in their hands. Just constantly ask, am I doing the right thing?
And in addition to that, you know, DAs believe and are probably correct that they're evaluated on their batting average, you know, how many cases they win, how many cases they lose. That's got to change. We all know how to evaluate lawyers. We know who's a good lawyer and who's a bad lawyer. They shouldn't be held to how many cases they win or how many cases they lose as the only factor that determines whether they're promoted and so forth. There are many other ways to evaluate them, and this just promotes this atmosphere of winning at all costs.
Can I share with you what I do at the beginning of my class? And mm-hmm. Adam was in my class. He knows this just for sure. I start my class, and they have to repeat after me, "I love the law. Praise be the law. The law giveth and provideth, and the law taketh away." And that's my way of impressing on them what they're doing is important. It's not about the grade. It's about people's lives. I mean, the law is not perfect, and the problem is that the law is not something in the abstract. It's made of people. And sort of what the energy is that goes into it can make a difference. So there are so many things looking back that could have and should have been done differently in Cash's case. But I try to learn from him. I had the same question I think maybe you asked, Amy, which is, how are you not bitter? Mm-hmm. And I want to look forward the way he does, mm-hmm. as opposed to looking back and seeing all the problems.
What's the future for the project for the innocent? How does the school support it? How is it supported?
Well, we hope there's a future. We hope there's a vibrant future. The truth is we have to hustle out there to get support. Mm. You know, I don't even draw a salary for this. This is my love. Most of us are out there volunteering what we do. As I said before, we got an initial grant from the Department of Justice to get started. Thank God they believed in us. And now we are. We reach out to the community, and we ask people, if you believe in us, support us as well. Finally, I want to thank Dean Victor Gold, because he does recognize that this is an important educational tool, community service tool, so the law school supports us.
So the law school supports you, but you get private money then?
We are hoping to get private money. I mean, that's something that we are just starting to do. I'm not sure. When we started this project, I realized that one day my time would be spent doing more of these administrative fundraising aspects, but I do it with whole heart now because I can see how it makes a difference. We need the resources so that we can go out and help Cash register, and we're going to get those.
Amy?
So the idea that the law is about people, and we certainly do find a great person in Mr. Register. But I have a question for you, Cash. Your mom must be beyond belief, so proud of you and so happy to have you home.
Yes, she is.
And I also suspect that it's your mom that has done a lot to instill in you your humility and your integrity.
Yes, she has. That was my strength. You know, when I was at my low points, you know, when I talked to her, she lifted me right back up and, you know, point me in the positive direction. You know, I don't know how I would made it without her, you know, support. But, you know, I love her, and I'm just happy that the Project for the Innocent had, you know, did such a great job in helping me, you know, regain my freedom back.
Yeah.
Boy, do you want a job practicing law, Cash? Man, you talk better than most of the darn lawyers Amy and I bump into all the time, yes. Okay, I have a question, Lori, for you, and then I have a question, Adam, for you. All right. You're coming back exactly 12 months from now. Right here. Amy, Dave Dino, the three of us will be here. And Lori, what's gone on the past year?
Oh, in the past year, we have hustled, and we have worked to help other people. And I am so delighted by the idea you'd have us back, because I want to come back with another client whose story will end as well as Cash Register. You know, another case where I can say there had been an injustice, but now things are right.
Okay, Adam, you're going to come back too, pal.
Mm-hmm.
What happened during the past year?
Well, we've identified some more remarkable people like Mr. Register, some more strong people that we feel we have to help, and we've inspired a whole new class of students who not only got to get their hands dirty and do the work and learn how to do the work, but there's no replacement for having an experience like freeing Mr. Register that will stick with them forever. It doesn't just show them that it's noble and beautiful to be a lawyer, but it gets inside them. They'll never forget it. They'll never have an experience like this.
Wow.
Hey, Dave Dino, you did good this time, okay?
Thank you. Thank you, boss. You have been listening to Champions of Justice with Tom Girardi and Amy Solomon, our guests today. Loyola Law Professor Lori Levinson, head of the Project for the Innocent. Her client, Cash Delano Register, 34 years in prison after being convicted of a murder he did not commit. Now, a free man. And Adam Grant, a lawyer with the Loyola Law School Project for the Innocent. One further note, and it's a quote from one of my favorite authors and a person somewhat in the forefront in the media these days, J.R.R. Tolkien. He said this, "Many that live deserve death, and some die that deserve life. Can you give it to them? Then be not too eager to deal out death in the name of justice, fearing for your own safety. Even the wise cannot see all ends." I'm Dave Dino. Thank you for listening.
This show furnished by Girardi Keys.